and know you have life. You have life. You're the only ones. You're the only one with the word of eternal life. You are life itself. And thank you that we can come to you, Lord. We can put our faith and trust and hope and life in your hands and know we are safe. Thank you that you have proven to us how much you love us, to what extent you will go to save us, to keep us, to redeem us, to restore us, to give us life. You have shown us how much you're willing to do for us. God, I pray this morning that you will help us to put our faith in you and you alone. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. If you are here for the very first time, we want to really welcome you, and we have a welcome pack for you. So if you are here for the first time, will you be so kind just to quickly raise your hand? Who are here for the very first time? Is there anybody here? There we go. There's somebody late. And at the back, let's give them a warm welcome. If you can just keep your hand raised for a second longer, there's somebody else there. Welcome. It's good to have you here in the front. We have someone else. There is some goodies inside. There's a voucher. Please keep your hand up there, Jean, right here, this block. There you go. Inside, there's also a very small chocolate, but the voucher, I think, is of more value. Please enjoy both. And you'll see in the outside, there's a little card. If you would be so kind just to fill that in and maybe just give it to someone at the Connect table, we'd love to get in contact with you during the week as well. We are continuing. Did we talk about prepare, purpose to prepare? What was it, Namia? Prepare for purpose. Here we go. If you miss prepare for purpose, prepare. See if I suck us out now. If you've missed prepare for purpose 2 weeks ago, you're welcome to join us tonight at 5. We are just doing a follow-up meeting and some practical application of that. This morning, however, we're going to continue. Last time we were listening to Jesus leading us very gently deeper. We are busy with the Sermon on the Mount, listening to Jesus' words, his teaching on what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. How does it look? How do we live? And so last time, very gently, Jesus was leading us deeper from ankle to waist to that deep end where you have to trust him. And he led us that way by telling us not to do something, but rather to do something else. And I want us just to reflect on that, because Jesus is now going to lead us even further to swim in the ocean. Once you get used to the deep end, he wants to lead us further. And so let's just think and reflect again on what he led us to last week. Matthew 6 from verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so that was stepping into the deep side, and Jesus is still gently leading us deeper and further. Again today, he starts with the same T-junction. Do not do this, but rather do that. And again, we come at this challenging point where we need to trust him to go further. You cannot go further unless you trust him. And so very gently, he leads us. And so I want us to continue from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not
be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Gently reasoning with us, like we said last time, Jesus, as God, could have only told us very straight, do not do this, do that. But because He's a loving Father and He has patience and He cares for us, He gently reasons with us, trying to explain to us why. Why He's saying what He's saying. He doesn't have to do that. He's God. Everything in nature obeys His word. Without hesitation, creation responds to the word of God. God says, let there be light, and there's light. And so everything responds, but when it comes to us, His children, he is so gentle and so kind. He explains to us. He reasons with us. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, they seek after these things. But your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Don't do this, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not do this, rather do that. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our tea junction for today, Jesus leading us a little bit deeper. Just like last week, Jesus takes a lot of time explaining to us why, lovingly, patiently reasoning with us. And we find this concept of being anxious, worry, stress. Do not be anxious. The New King James says, do not worry. Do not worry about life. Do not be anxious. Jesus uses that word 6 times. 3 times, it's a command. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. 3 of the 6 times, it's a clear command. Do not worry. Another 2 times, it is explaining to us why not to worry. And then once as a proclamation of why. And all the emphasis on this section of his teaching is do not worry, be anxious or stressed. Who of you would not want to be worried, anxious, or stressed? Well, good news. Jesus today is telling us how to not to be worried, anxious, or stressed. And so we're going to listen to Jesus and then trust Him. You'll have to trust Him. Matthew it starts so powerfully, Jesus teaching on how not to worry and stress. And it's not just how to, it is a do not to. It's a big difference. I can give you 6 steps not to worry. But it starts with a command not to worry. It's very challenging. It doesn't start with understanding the 6 steps. It starts to understand who the one is who says, do not. It's a command. Do not worry. Jesus starts with a therefore. You know, as you know me, therefore is my favorite English word in the Bible. So therefore, it starts with a therefore. In other words, the therefore is always in the middle between a promise and a premise. There's a promise given that is built on something. Something is established. Therefore, do not. And so we have to look a bit back. Why is there an echo? Is it just me or is it the symbols? Am I too loud? Okay. Therefore, there are 2 things that Jesus says on which what he says stands. It's a foundation that Jesus lays over and over again before he says anything. And if we establish that foundation, we will be able to accept what Jesus says. If we don't have that foundation, we will not be able to accept what Jesus says. In all my life in ministry, I see it so often. If this foundation is in the hearts of men and women, they accept what Jesus says. If this foundation is absent, they cannot accept what Jesus says. Here's the first foundation, the therefore. Let's go to verse 24, the previous verse. He says, no one can serve 2 masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve 2 masters. Therefore, if you have chosen God as your master, the only one that you follow, therefore, do not worry. If money is your master, be worried. Because the more you have, guess what? The more worry you will have. But if you choose God as your only master, do not worry about your life. Because he will take care of you. The second foundation is, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you. It settles it. You know, gently, Jesus was preparing us earlier in his sermon. He said, you've heard it was said, but I say to you. And every time he was challenging our faith in our culture, in our religion, in our leaders, that has in past said to us, and then Jesus comes, but I say to you. Jesus asks his disciple, who do men say I am? And they say, oh, some say you're the prophet, some say you're Elijah. And then he says, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. And Jesus said to Simon, blessed are you, Simon. Because flesh and blood, man did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this, I will build my church, my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Here's the 2 foundations. There's only one God, and he is my God. He is my master. And secondly, Jesus, God himself, said so. If those 2 things are settled in your heart, you will accept whatever Jesus says, because Jesus is God and he is my Lord. He is my only Lord, my only master. Therefore, I will only listen to him. I will not listen to the world. I will not listen to my culture. I will not even listen to my own heart and reason. I will listen to him because he's God. And he saved me. He paid for my life. He bought me. I belong to him. I mean, there's so many other reasons so I can add to this. Because I love him. I will do what he says. Two foundations. Again, leading us slowly. And Jesus, in his kindness, explains to us the reasons. Like a loving parent explaining to us the why. Why I'm saying this. I want you to understand this, Andries. I want you to understand the principle on which you're not meant to do this, but rather that. And verse 26, he says, look at nature. Look at what I created by my word. Look what I created and what I sustain. I want you to look at it. Look at nature. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look how I, who created them, sustains them, cares and feeds for them. Just look. Now, that's a reason. Verse 30, God clothes them. God cares for them. Will he not much more clothe you? If he does that to nature, will he not much more do that for you? Now, if you believe in evolution, this argument doesn't make sense. If we came into existence by absolute chance and we evolved from the monkeys, there are no difference between us and the monkeys. And ladies, if you look at the fashion of the monkeys, he's not going to clothe you much more than those. But he does, because you're not created in the image of an ape. You were created in the image of God. And he loves you. You are not driven by instinct either. You are driven by choice. Then he goes on to say, you are of more value than these. He's not just going to care for you more than nature. You are of more value. And again, if evolution is true, there is no difference between you and a baboon. You have not greater value than the baboon. There are, however, some people that believe baboons are equal value to humans, especially in this town. I mean, I've come to the conclusion, since I'm not allowed to treat the baboon like a baboon when it enters my house, I must treat it like a human. Next time they break in and steal, I'm going to go to the police and make a case. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to tell him this leader, he even has a brace around his neck. You can track him. You can arrest him right now. Because he must be treated like me. So please, you are of much more value than baboons. And if God provides for them with your house and your fridge, and they praise God when they enter it, I'm sure they do. But we are not the same. We are not the same. We were created in his image and likeness, and he's given his life for you and me to redeem us, to adopt us, to call us his own. You are his son and daughter. You of little faith. That's the underlining principle Jesus is trying to convey to me, to you. I love you more than everything around you. If I care for everything around you, how much more will I care for you? But we must have faith in Him. If you want to be free from anxiety and fear and stress and worry, you must have faith in God. Verse 30, Jesus puts it this way, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, you see again, the premise, and now the promise. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. He knows. Remember how Jesus started to lead us deeper with prayer. In Matthew 6 verse 7, He said, when you pray, do not heap up empty words like the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard with their many words. Do not be like them. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need. Therefore, praise like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come, and your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Remember that sermon. That what we need for today, because you know what we need. So we're not going to ask you more for what we need today, because we trust you that you're going to provide for us tomorrow that what we need tomorrow. And so Jesus is leading us deeper from prayer to life. Our daily bread, God knows what we need. And so what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about our basic needs. He says food and clothing. Our basic needs. And this is where the flesh and the world conspires to lead us astray, to lead us in a different way. Jesus is leading us this way. The world wants to lead us this way. Jesus wants to lead us deeper. The world wants us to stay in the shallow waters. One Timothy, we read it a few weeks ago, but godliness with contentment. And this is what contentment is. Contentment is being satisfied with the basics and thankful for everything else that God adds. That's contentment. Being happy, at peace with my basic need, and being so thankful for everything that God adds to it. It's contentment. Now, godliness with contentment leads to great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, the basics, we will be content with that. But those who are not, who wants more, who wants to be rich, fall into a temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows, griefs, anxieties and fears, stresses and worries. Contentment is to be satisfied with the basics and be thankful for everything else that God adds, all the good things that He adds over and above food and clothing. That is why it is so good to start off your marriage life with very little. It is a good thing. Parents, if you're wealthy, it is a good thing for your kids to start off with little. Please don't give them everything in the beginning. Let them learn contentment with a little so that they will be appreciative of everything that is added, that they will be thankful and grateful towards God. I remember when we were called and sent to go plant in England. We were just married for a year, and we had a very nice, comfortable life. My father blessed me with a flat, and my wife had a car, and I had a bucky. And we were living in Stellenbosch. We were living the dream. And then God called us to England, and it was the Saturday. We left the Sunday with two suitcases. And my salary was worked out to be £500, and the smallest flat we could find was 900. So I took my new wife with two suitcases, and we started all over in a deficit, and we had very little, and God provided for us, and my wife got a half-day filing job, and we could pay rent, and I could take her out for dinner once a month to the pub, and we could share a bowl of slop chips. And I was so thankful that God provided for us, that we can have a bowl of slop chips. Fast forward, I don't know how many years is now, 15 years later, I'm in this amazing town called Hermanus. I live in a house, and one of the most expensive restaurants owner blesses us once a month with a free meal. We can eat as much as we want, anything on the menu. And it doesn't cost me a cent. And I'm reflecting back 15 years ago that I was so thankful for a bowl of chips. And now I can have as much steak and prawn and whatever I desire with dessert for free. Once a month. And I was asking the Lord why. And Lord, it's because you were thankful. You were thankful over the bowl of chips. You know, God is amazing. But He's teaching us through every phase of life to put our faith in Him. But if we are honest, most of us here today, our anxiety, our worry is not linked to our basic needs. Our worry and our fear, the things that keeps us awake, is not food and clothing. We have that. If we're honest with ourselves, our worry are directly linked to our greatest joys in life. The things that brings us joy in life, our fears are linked to that. It's not to food and clothing anymore. To put it this way, our fears are directly linked to the vulnerability and the risk to the things that we love so much in this life. To the good things that God has blessed us with over and above the bowl of chips, the food and the clothing, the small little flat. He's given us so much more, and our fear and anxiety is about all the extra things that God has blessed us with. The vulnerability of those things, the fleetingness of those things, the potential of those things to go away, to be lost, to be stolen, to decay. And so we lie awake at night worrying about temporal things, good things that God has blessed us with, that has become disproportionately important to our life. They become the one thing that we believe we must have to be happy. I must have this to be happy. And now that I have this, I must not lose this. Because if I lose this, I will lose my happiness and my joy and my peace. And so we end up being worried about things other than food and clothing. My house, my car, my career, my savings, my pension, my health, my wife, my children. I fear, I worry, I stress that I will lose them. The things that God has blessed me over and above with is what keeps me awake at night. St. Augustine, great church father, says, all of us have good things in our life, and we desire them. We all have good things in our life, and we desire that. It's normal. But when temporal things becomes the one thing in our lives we think we must have to be happy, when we seek, adore, and think about them mostly, it's not only our treasure, but what causes anxiety. I want us just to close our eyes for a moment, and I want us just to think about all the good things that God has blessed you with over and above your food and clothing. Just for a moment. What are the good things we prayed this morning that we can be thankful for, that God has blessed us with over and above food and clothing? Are any of them becoming so important that you think without them you cannot be happy? Just ask the Lord. Are there any temporal things that has become disproportionately important that leads me to worry, to stress, or to be afraid? You see, you can close your eyes. When temporal things becomes disproportionately important in our lives, it causes stress, anxiety, and fear. When we think, if we lose this, this is what we need to be happy. This is what we need to have peace. When this becomes disproportionately important, that causes your fear, your worry, and your stress. Anxiety can always be traced back to the fear of loss of something. The reason we are stressing is because we fear we're going to lose something. And we think that out without it, we will never be happy. St. Augustine says, our worries often leads us to our idols in our lives. Some of the things you may be worried about are good things, created by God, blessed by God, and given to you as a blessing. My daughters, my eldest is leaving. She's finishing school and she's spreading her wings and can't wait to fly. It's a good thing. My daughter and her flying away, I guess. But if she keeps me awake at night, the thought of her flying away, and I cannot stop thinking about and worrying about, a little worry is good. It shows that you care. I love them, that's why. But I'm not awake at night because of that. My worry is momentary. 2 minutes and I move on. Because there's something greater in life that sustains me. There's something that I need more than children to make me happy, to give me peace. As much as I love them and as much as they are a blessing in my life. If something keeps you up all night and all that you can think about, talk about, it becomes disproportionate. Good things can become the one thing, and good things can slip in and become disproportionately important. Disproportionate to what? To God. If I think about, dream about, wonder about anything more than I do about God, I must be careful that it does not become an idol in my life. That this good thing becomes the one thing that I must have, otherwise I will not be happy. And so we start to worry and fear and plan and dream and be consumed by other things that is not God. Constantly worrying and being paralyzed by fear means you are seeking these things, these good things, as the one thing in your life. And they are all temporal in nature. And that is why we fear them, or the fear of loss of them, because they are temporal. That's why we worry about it, because they can be stolen. We can lose them. They can die. But if the one thing we seek, the most important thing we believe we need to be happy, is eternal, cannot be lost or stolen or decay, what can we fear? If this one most important thing in my life cannot decay, cannot be destroyed, cannot be stolen, if this one thing that I believe is what I need to have joy and peace, what will I fear? That's why Jesus says, do not, but rather, do not worry about life, but rather seek first. If that one thing you seek, you set your heart, you meditate on, you speak about, is God, then you will always have peace. You will always have peace. Because nothing can take God away from you. He cannot be stolen from you. He will not decay. And he will not die, because he is eternal. Romans 8 verse 35 puts it this way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? All the things that we normally worry about, if these will come across us to take away the other things from us, if God is the greatest, then what can separate me from this? For your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future nor any powers, neither height or depth or any else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That is the one thing that we should all be longing, dreaming, thinking, desiring about, holding on to as the only thing that will give us joy and peace in this life. And when God is that, if God is our treasure, our heart will also be there. And it will be at peace. My greatest joy is God. I will not worry or be anxious because He cannot be lost, stolen or decay. We sang it earlier, there is no one but You, Jesus. It's only You, Jesus. If God is your treasure, your heart will be there also, and you will have peace, joy, and love everlasting. No matter what you face, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword, life or death, demon or angel, present or future, nothing will be able to separate you from that peace. That is why Jesus says, do not do this. Worry about this life. Do not make things in this life the one thing, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That is why Jesus said what He said. What does that mean? That's another sermon. Today, let's make God the one thing. Let's make Him the one thing that we need most in life. The one thing that we believe is the only thing that we need for true joy and peace. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank You that we can come to You this morning, sit at Your feet, and listen. Listen not to a man, but listen to You, to Your words. Lord, I pray that it will be Your words that sinks deep into our mind and hearts. Lord, I pray that it may settle there. That we will not just recognize them, but that we will think about them. We will seek. We will seek You. We will seek You. We will think about, meditate, ponder upon, ask You, and think again. Give us the faith to believe You. Give us the faith to trust You and to think about how we can do these things. Because in it, we will not just find peace, we will find You. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that You will help us to do just that. I'm going to give You a moment. I want to end over Psalm 39. In Afrikaans sê ek het so baie. I'm going to give You a moment just to ask the Lord. Deursoek my, o God. Ken my wil, my emosie, en my verstand. En soek of daar enige bose weë in my is. En lei my op die ewige pad. From verse 23 it says, can we go to verse 23? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts, Lord. And lead me. Lead me away. Lead me to everlasting life. Will you all do that for a moment? Just close your eyes. Just speak to the Lord. if you're here this morning while all the eyes are closed and you do not know this God that loves you so much, who's not just willing to give you what you need, but save your life, give His for yours, to give you an inheritance waiting for you, eternal life. If you do not know Him and you want to surrender your life to Him, I want to give you an opportunity right now just to raise your hand. If you want to give your life to God, to surrender your life to Him, will you quickly raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. There's one hand. Is there anyone else? Quickly raise your hand. God is here today to save you and to give you a future and a hope. Is there anyone else? I want to thank you for those hands, my love. Can I have another lady facilitator, please help? Thank you. For the rest of us, Father, we thank you that you've come to give us life, and that life is in your Son. Lord, thank you that you have not just come and left us alone, but you asked the Father to give us your Spirit to come and live in us as a guarantee and a seal of our inheritance waiting for us as we are just passing through. Lord, as we do, teach us your ways. Teach us your ways, Lord, that we may know you more and grow to be strong in you, to be different to this world, so that we can be light in the midst of darkness and give a witness to your ways, your perfect ways, that they are good, acceptable, and perfect, and that whosoever calls on your name can also be saved and have this hope that we have, that we don't live for this life anymore. We live for you, and we live for the life to come, and we bring glory to you. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place that your word will settle in our hearts, and it will grow, it will germinate, Lord. It will grow to maturity, and it will bear fruit that brings glory to you. Help us not to fear, but to have faith in you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. If you're in need of prayer, we're going to be here. But otherwise, you have to leave now. Because other people...